Good morning, everyone. I don't know if I caught everyone this morning coming through, but if I didn't, this is your good morning from me. So, you know, I got here early this morning. I mean, it was still dark. Still dark when I got here. And you guys notice how the time's changing, how the sun's coming up later. And, you know, we're hitting that time. And we're going to have that moment when time is going to shift again. We'll time travel again where we'll fall back, you know, and we'll think we're really lucky because we get an extra hour of sleep at some moment in time, and for some of us that would be truly great. But anyway, this morning I got here, it was dark, and the sun started coming up, and it came over the corner. It was coming right in the windows of the church, in the front doors, and the beauty of that, just I was awestruck by the beauty that God created in things. And it kind of goes into this morning's message of God creating beautiful things. And I'm talking about God creating us in our human form. You know, the human form, or our body, is an amazing creation. Did you know that? That you are an amazing creation. That God constructed you and God designed you, a human body, with like it's a miracle of creativity. God is a miracle creator, right? And I'm talking about your body being built in His image. That everything that's poured into you is poured into you in His image. Of housing the aspects, the attributes, the character of God. Having emotions the same as God has emotions. Carrying some of the things that God does carry. God put all that inside of each and every one of us. He put in each and every one of us the ability to even process information. He did this because He knew that He was going to be delivering His word, His wisdom, His knowledge, and understanding so we could have that and we could process this information for our lives. God did that. And He did it in such a way that it was a true marriage of design and function. You have a true marriage of design and function. You know that? We function together in our body as one balanced entity of design and function. Now, there's sometimes that our function deteriorates. As I get older, I feel the fact that my functions deteriorate from time to time, you know, but the design is still the same. And in fact, God, in creating that, and His design, knew that that function was going to possibly deteriorate sometimes. So He designed us to adapt even to that. To adapt in our bodies in His image. And our bodies are, well, our bodies can perform some amazing tasks. You ever notice that? How well your body performs amazing tasks? We look at it from day to day and we think to ourselves, well, this is just what we do. This is just what our body does. But our bodies perform some amazing things because it is created in such a way. In their bodies, we have some 60,000 miles of blood vessels. 60,000 miles. That's a lot of miles. You get to a car that gets 60,000. What used to be a point in time where my car would get to 50,000 miles, I was supposed to trade it in, right? You remember those days? But your car gets 60,000 miles of blood vessels in it. It has a heart beats roughly 100,000 times per day. Your heart beats that many times per day. Our nerves, your nerves in your body, can carry your nerve impulses up to 250 miles an hour. That's an amazing thing. Our eyes can distinguish thousands of different colors. That's better than any digital camera you'll ever buy. Your eyes can do that naturally. Our nose can recognize up to 1 trillion different scents. Now, that's a lot, right? Now we're thinking, well, how come a dog can smell better? Well, a dog can smell better. But we can recognize up to 1 trillion different scents. That's the way God designed our body. He designed it in that way for a reason. Because our human body is a unique and complex machine. It's unique and complex. But just like any machine, it needs to be fueled. We have to have fuel to help our bodies, our machine run, right? And this is why from time to time that we feel, well, we feel hungry and thirsty. You ever get hungry and thirsty? I haven't eaten this morning except for that little piece of bread, right? A little drink. So sometimes we get hungry and thirsty. We have to fuel our body, and that's our body telling us that we're hungry and we need to fuel it. And we do that because we feel hungry and thirsty from time to time, but God had designed our bodies in such a way that, did you know that you could go 2 to 3 months without eating before anything really happens? Now you lose weight and other things, but the end does not happen for that amount of time. You can go 2 to 3 months, and you can go up to probably 7 days usually without drinking something before it's devastating and something dramatic happens. 7 days. We can do that. And as we look at, and I'm talking about, and I'm thinking about the hunger and thirst that we have in our bodies, hunger and thirst is a sign of life. Hunger and thirst is a sign of life, that you need to eat and you need to drink to live, right? Somebody that's dead doesn't get thirsty or hungry, right? They don't get thirsty and hungry. The dead don't require sustenance, right? But somebody that's alive, physically alive, they require food and water to operate. And our bodies cry out for nourishment when it needs it. I was talking this morning to some people, and I was asking, you know, what their favorite food is or what they crave sometimes. And the body is an amazing thing because sometimes our body craves something. And when we crave something, it's usually because our body needs whatever is in that particular food or drink. It needs some type of mineral, a vitamin, or whatever else is inside there. Maybe it needs some protein. Maybe it needs greens, whatever it is. But sometimes our bodies scream out for a certain type of nourishment. And this is the same for our soul, that our souls cry out for nourishment. A dead soul does not thirst or hunger. Our souls require daily bread. It requires sustenance for our spirit, our souls. And this is where we find ourselves today in discussing Jesus' beatitude in Matthew 5:6. If you're there, if you have it, you can turn to Matthew 5:6. And if you haven't guessed already what I'm talking about when we're talking about this particular beatitude, you'll be able to read it in there. But this is where Jesus comes up and says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Matthew 5:6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Our souls cry out for sustenance. And our souls cry out for a particular type of sustenance, and that is the things of God. We hunger and we thirst. We need to hunger and thirst for the things of God. That's what our souls need, or otherwise our souls will starve. And you know what happens to a starving soul? Think about that for a second. If you starve your body, what happens? Well, naturally it dies, right? But there's even something beyond that with a soul that happens when you withhold the things of God from your spirit, from your soul. Because when you do that, it leads to a condition that you can find quite often in the Bible, and that's a hardening of your heart. A hardening of your heart. It's like sometimes it's hard to put your eyes on the concept of what a hardening heart is. What does a hardening of your heart actually even look like? It's like it's a condition which leads to an insensitive and unresponsive spirit or heart or nature. It's insensitive or unresponsive to God's love, God's truth, and God's warnings. When we don't listen to God, when we start having a hardening of our heart, we start putting off the warning signs that God gives us, not only in our body itself, but in the world around us. That God is there yelling and says, "I want to give you my love. I want to give you my truth. But you're not heeding my warnings because you're not listening to me, because you're not hungry. You're not thirsty for me. And this is a condition that can happen to many. It can happen to even somebody that said they're a follower of Jesus, that this condition can occur. That we need to remain hungry and thirsty for the things of God and His righteousness. As our souls cry out for that. And this is the hunger and the thirst that Jesus spoke about in this beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. When Jesus was talking about this, He was trying to project to us the state of our inner heart or our inner state. The state of where our heart is at and what we're actually hungering and we're thirsting for in our life. He says you need to be hungry for the things of God. You need to be hungry for the righteousness. But this is not the hunger or the thirst that you would get if you went a couple hours without drinking or maybe a couple days without food. That's not that type of hunger or thirst. This is a deep down yearning for God to be in your life, for Jesus to show you the way, for God's truth and love to be with you, for God's presence to show Himself in your life and that you soak it in and you know what you have. That's the hunger and the thirsting that Jesus is talking about. When we go without food, we know what it feels like, right? If you go a couple days without eating, if you're fast, you ever fasted for more than 5 days? Some of us have. You know what it felt like. Have you ever gone without something to drink for a couple days? You know what that feels like? We can all imagine what that would feel like. We know what it feels like when we go a couple hours without, you know, a hot day without a cup of water or something to drink, right? Or if we're, you know, our farmers, got a lot of farmers here, right? They're out in the fields and they're doing all the things and, you know, they're working real hard and maybe sometimes they don't get to eat a meal when they wanted it. And the attention that we give to our bodies, especially when our stomach is growling, we know that. We can imagine those things. But what I'm talking about, this hunger and thirst, is having the every thought about being on the intensity of receiving what God wants to give you. This is what Jesus is talking about when He says, I want you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. About every thought, every moment, everything that you can have in life is focused on Jesus and what He brings to you and the righteousness that He brings into life. That's what He's talking about. You know, our bodies have, sometimes it has the deepest yearnings for what it truly needs. And then you have the signs of those. And the signs remain with you until it just, your body just up and dies. The same thing is with your spirit. Your spirit is going to constantly remind you of what it needs until that moment where it's just done. And that's a tragic place for us, anybody, to be in life. And these are the things that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness. The act of spiritual longing. There is a psalmist who wrote Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, where it really talks about how we're supposed to look and thirst for God. I want to look at that quick. Psalm 42. Psalms are some of my most favorite verses in the Bible. But in this one itself, it says that as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My soul thirsts for God. My soul pants for you. When I look at those verses and I think about Jesus in that manner, this is something where it's not a passive desire. It's not something that I just go in every Sunday morning and I have a fill of it on Sunday morning and it can last me all week long. That's the time where you start, you know, your body really is telling you that you need more of it, where we need our daily bread. You know, a lot of times we think about the Lord's Prayer. We talk in there about how thank you for our daily bread, right? And we think about this in a physical manner, how our God gives us everything we need, whether it's financing, whether it's food, whether it's materialism, whatever it is. But it also concerns your soul, that God can deliver to you daily what you need for your spirit, what I need for my spirit. These are the things that we're praying to our Father in heaven for. Nothing Jesus ever says is purely of one aspect. There's always another aspect in it. And sometimes there's even multiple. When you think that you have it figured out and the verse, you know everything about that verse, look again. The Holy Spirit will come and He will reveal new information to you that you can take and you can grow, because that's when you thirst and you hunger for righteousness. Is that when you have the Holy Spirit coming and just speaking into you and revealing further and further and further what He's trying to give to you. And this is not a giving because, you know, it's something that, you know, He says, well, you give this to me, I get this from you. He says, no, I'm going to give this to you freely. This is your gift. I'm going to give this to you freely. But we need to hunger and thirst for it. And Jesus guided us in trying to help us to understand that we need Him, that we need to hunger and thirst for Him. There's a particular place in the Bible, in the book of John, that many find to be, I don't know, some people find it to be distasteful. I don't know if many. Many might be the wrong word. But some find it to be distasteful. Because it talks about where Jesus is telling them to eat of His flesh and drink of His blood. And sometimes we get things stuck in our head, that we start thinking physically about something. We're not thinking further about what it really means. Hyperboles come into mind of where we need to be thinking deeper about what is going on. This particular one where Jesus is talking about eating of His body says, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Unless you do this, you have no life in you. He says, whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. And He goes on further to say that my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks of my blood remains in me, and I in them. And just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds me will live because of me. Or the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. They ate the physical manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread, the bread that Jesus is offering, will live forever. That's the hunger and thirst and feeding that Jesus is talking about. It goes much further than just the physical state of where we're at. It goes into our spiritual state of where we're at and where we need to be. And we can't get where we need to be without being hungry and thirsty for the things of God. I want you all to have real food and real drink. But more than that, I want you all to live forever. I want you to live forever. And when we feed our souls, we feed our spirits, that's when we live forever. That's when we have Jesus. That's when we thirst for Jesus. You know, Luke, in his abbreviated versions of the Beatitudes, wrote about this same thing. But when he talked about it, he only talked about, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. He was writing to a different group. Some say he was writing to a group of physicians that would understand this part of it about being hungry. But Matthew adds in the fact of being thirsty also. Which overtakes you first, hunger or thirst? Thirst, right? Don't you usually get thirsty first? I feel thirsty up here. It's a warm day. It's warm up here anyway. And I feel thirsty, thirsty. So you get a thirst for things. And we need to be thirsty for Jesus. We need to thirst for Him. You know, there's a particular exchange that Jesus had in the Bible. And this was also in the book of John. Do you remember this exchange with a Samaritan woman at the well? Where He was asking this woman for a drink. And this woman said, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't be asking me for a drink. Do you remember what Jesus said to that? Do you remember the exchange in that? I don't see a lot of heads nodding up and down. I'll tell you what. Why don't we turn to the book of John and we'll look at this particular one. The book of John, chapter 4. And we'll see what Jesus actually said to this Samaritan woman. Chapter 4, verse 10. Verse 10, he said, he responded to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. He said this to the Samaritan woman. And after a further exchange, he followed up with this in verse 14, where he said, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus gives us the living water of life, that when we hunger and thirst for Him, He gives us to drink this particular water, which leads to life, which leads to eternal life, which leads to being filled, which leads to being satiated in our thirst. So how it is that Jesus is telling us before that we need to remain hungry and thirsty for righteousness. He says, even when you get the living water, and when you truly have the living water inside you, you will naturally yearn for more. Your body, your soul, your spirit will crave, will hunger and thirst for more of Jesus. Because He has given you a gift of salvation. And you will know this. And you will say, I want more of Jesus. Not because of what He can do for me, but because of what He's already done for me. Because thirsting and hungering for Jesus allows us to get closer to Jesus than any one of us could ever expect to get. And this is the creation of life. This is the creation that God put into us in our human body so that we would be able to know these things. That's why you are a miracle of creativity. That you can know the things of God. Do you think a cow knows the things of God? Do you think a chicken knows the things of God? We are designed in such a way that we can know the things of God. We are children of God, designed by Him, created by Him, born by Him, breathed life into our bodies that we can know God and we can hunger and thirst and feel the Spirit that God had breathed into each and every one of us. This is what Jesus is talking about. Because when we hunger and thirst, it makes it possible for us to hear the voice and the message of Jesus. It makes it possible for us to do that. Sometimes we like what we hear, right? Sometimes we don't like what we hear. Ever been there? I'm sure you have. Anybody that's ever heard a message from God has probably at one point or time or other when He said no. It's like we don't like the word no. You know, if you think I'm kidding. You know, when a child wants something, tell them no and see how they react. Right? We don't like being told no. But sometimes we need to have that. We hear the message. He says things we don't like. But a lot of times it depends on what we're asking for or what we're being asked to do, on whether we like what we're hearing or not. Some things are easy, some things are hard. That's the nature of living. That's the nature of us just being here. But he says, I want you to hunger and thirst over these things, because when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you receive something. Do you remember the second part? Matthew 5:5, it says, for they will be filled. For they will be filled. When we are hungry and thirsty for God, we will be filled. The pangs of hunger, the pangs of thirst in our spirit, they just kind of just go away. But we need to still go after more, hunger and thirst for more. And God's presence will come in and fill our life. When we hunger and thirst for that righteousness, he comes in and he fills our life. Now, I look at the word that Jesus used in this particular part of the verse where he said, he used a past tense version of fill. He said, filled, E-D, that your life will be filled, right? That we will be filled. Now, this is not something that we can accomplish by ourselves, but we have to desire to do it. And when that happens, we look at that word and we see that it's actually a past tense of the word, that it's a passive tense of the word. That when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you don't even have to wait for what's going on. You already got it. It snuck in on you while you weren't looking. For you will be filled. So you already carry it around with you. It's all received. We don't have to worry about it coming in the future. It's there. And the more we follow Jesus, the more we'll crave him in our lives to be filled even more. You know, Jesus has a way of expounding and expanding that little vessel inside of us that he can fill. You ever notice that? So we talk about like a cup overflowing. We do those things. But Jesus also has another innate ability to say, you see that little thing in there that you start with, you know, that hole that sometimes we talk about in our soul that we need Jesus in there? He's able to expand that so he can come in even more and more and more. It's swelling up like a balloon. This balloon doesn't pop, though. This balloon only gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's the amazing thing about our human body and our spirit that God has created. That we can hunger and thirst for something so much, that we can be filled so much, that we can crave it over and over and over. You know, I asked everybody this morning up here what their favorite food was. Now, some of them, you know, chickened out and gave a category instead of a food. That's okay. It's all good. I teased them. I'm sorry. My favorite food is pizza. I like pizza. Well, you got any more pizza lovers in here? Yeah? 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 See, I'm not alone. But I can only eat pizza for so long before I need something else. Right? It's not that way with Jesus. We can have Jesus every day, every hour of the day, continually, and we can never get full. That's the way we were made. When we hunger and we thirst, we recognize our need for Jesus. When we hunger and we thirst, we seek him out in word and faith and prayer. When we hunger and thirst, we cultivate our relationship with Jesus. When we hunger and thirst, we align ourselves in his will and we experience his spirit. When we hunger and thirst, we then start living in his love and living his love. That means that we experience his love in our life. And because we hunger and thirst, we then bring his love to others in the world. That's when we hunger and thirst. And when we do that, we receive a deep inner contentment. We receive it because we're in a right relationship with God. We receive it because God is a centerpiece of our life. We receive that contentment because we understand that God will provide all things. We receive the contentment because God's presence is inside of us. We receive that because we are transformed by Holy Spirit. And when we're transformed by Holy Spirit, that means we're becoming more like Jesus. Right? And experiencing a deeper connection with people. To live a life marked by Jesus himself. You know, just like our bodies crave, you know, crave after food and water, our spirits really do crave Jesus. If our spirits are not craving Jesus, then we need to examine where our heart is at and see if our heart has somehow been hardened because of our lack of hunger and thirst that our bodies have adapted and given up. That can happen. To hunger and thirst for righteousness means to have a deep yearning for life itself. To walk in this way is to hunger for life. Because walking without it means that you are settling for death. I wanted to end a particular way, but I think the Lord is telling me to end in a different way to this morning. I want to end in a time of celebrating that you are an amazing, amazing person. You are an amazing, amazing design and function, and you belong to Jesus. You do. Jesus is life, right? Jesus is righteousness, he is life, and we must always set our hearts on life. And I'm going to read the little rendition that I usually, you know, I take and I'll put just a little bit of a spin on the Beatitude. I never want to change the content, but I change the words up so maybe we can just understand it a little bit better. But there's a way that I want to end tonight. I want to end in a celebration. I want to end with us just worshiping God in an exciting moment and just praising God. And I'm going to call an audible, okay? And we're not going to sing going out. We're going to pray going out. And then I want you guys to tell me. I want you to tell me what you're hungering and thirsting for. Leave me a note. Come up and tell me up front. What is God speaking to your life? How is he making you hungry and thirsty for him? What is he doing in your life that he's presenting himself to you? There's a way of just celebrating life, period. But celebrating life with Jesus is so much better. And I want you guys to know that his greatest desire is for you to hunger and thirst for him. And when that happens, you will not go away hungry. It's kind of like my grandma said, you know, my grandma's house, she always had food. It says, if you go away hungry, that's your own fault. Same thing is at God's table. If you go away hungry, that's your fault. So as we leave today, as we get ready to go, you guys can just do your thing, whatever the Holy Spirit's leading you to do. But I want you guys to just think about it. I want you guys to pray about it. If you want to share it, I'm ready to listen. If you don't want to share it with me, share it with somebody else. There are a lot of loving family members here and other places that love to hear from you and love to hear what Jesus is doing in your life and how you hunger and thirst and how you are being filled, because you are being filled. You hunger and thirst, you will be filled. This is my take on the Beatitude, so I hope I don't offend anybody. Blessed are those who cry out for the things of God. For those who have the deepest yearning for what God is, love, truth, grace, mercy, justice, and righteousness. For when they hunger for me, I will feed them. Their lives will be filled with the greatest of life's substance. When this happens, they will see that I feed them. Not as they would feed themselves, but only as I can when they reach out to me in this way, they will see that they are, have been, and always will be refreshed in my presence. That's what the Lord said to me. And that's what I pass on to you. So as we get ready to leave for just a celebration, that's what it is. It's a celebration. It's a celebration of life and a celebration of being hungry for life and the life that Jesus wants to give. I guess that's my further blessing for everybody, is that you are hungry and thirsty for that. Okay? So I'll let you take it.
All right. So God loves you. Yes? He wants you to love him back. And I love the picture that we all have this God-sized shape hole in our heart. That when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he comes in and fills that hole. And I love that picture that gets bigger and bigger. He expands our heart to receive more and more of him. So, Pastor said we weren't going to sing. So this is what I want us to do. I want you to stand. We're going to stand this morning. And we're going to take a moment of quiet. I want you to do two things. Number one, if somewhere in your heart, there's a piece of your heart you're holding back from God, that you're like, Lord, I don't know if I can love you with all my heart. And if God is stirring in your heart today to confess it, confess it. And know that he will fill you. Secondly, I want you to think about how you can love him more this week. To feed your own soul, to develop your own hunger and thirsting after him. So the instruments are going to play. We're going to stand quietly for just a couple of minutes so that you and God can